time to, to me, that's a red flag.
I see it. Okay.
We're resuming, even as we speak.
All right, roll call, please.
I'm here.
Physically, but not mentally.
Make a motion, we accept him and
Hear me now? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you just a little.
Let me see what stuff. There we go. You know, when we get there every day, we take the samples that we have to do to run the plant the way we do it. We have a guy that's coming in a little bit later now because what we do is we have another plant out in the town of Oswego that we have to get done, and that takes an hour. And then, of course, it takes some time to get to the plant. But we're there 3 hours before. I didn't leave there today till after two meals down there today. The airline is, we had to go out and get some more oxygen for the acetylene torch and didn't get that stuff there. We're looking for probably, hopefully, a week out with all the parts. Everything's in place. So I think we're looking all right there. There's enough oxygen to sustain the bugs that are in the tank right now. So we're meeting permit. So other than that, I talked with Neil today and previously we talked about getting a dumpster down there to get that junk and crap all out of there, the dumpster that'll take wood and metal and everything that's just laying around. We can clean out the garage, get everything all cleaned up. And also, Neil's going to be talking about getting the grass cut today. Any questions?
No, not so far.
We've completed the shaver contract. You sent that out, Evelyn?
Yeah. I got Dan to send me a copy, and I sent that to Ev.
So that should be returned to them tomorrow or the next day?
And then once have you signed it yet, Mayor?
I mailed it, yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right. And I mailed it.
Everything's good. So I had to have them come in yesterday because the generator down at the main North Railroad station was not coming on automatically. What's happened is because we have so many outages there, the power outages up and on and off, it actually affected the memory, and he fixed that yesterday. So we're back in back into testing once a week.
The questions regarding their report that we have in front of us, or for Tom?
Oh, I make a motion that we accept it.
I'll second it.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, Tom.
Okay, I'll be
here. You what?
I'll be here.
Okay, good thing.
I thought he said that.
I thought he was leaving. All right.
Yeah, Building's cool.
All right, buildings code inspector.
Yes, everybody should have received my report in their mailbox.
Yep.
Everybody should have read it three times. So with that in mind, if there's any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
I have a note at the gas station. Is that, I looked for here, is that in here?
Yes, they're replacing the canopies and the pumps at the gas station.
And they also replace the tanks.
And you're welcome. They replace what?
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Okay.
So now you got it. Yes. The tanks were replaced.
All right.
DEC was involved in throughout the process. So everything is cleaned up and they're ready to put their new canopy up once they receive it.
Were there any problems or issues removing those tanks?
Nope, the tanks came out real easy. The only issue they had is when they started digging and kept going to the DEC part of the front of the structure underneath the sidewalk where you walk in the front became undermined. So they had a real issue one evening. LJ stopped them what they were doing, and then they brought in loads and loads of basically number two stone.
Now, what were they doing with the tank? Upgrading them, bigger ones, or
nope? They just had to. They had to replace them because they're on such a
cycle of
repair. Yeah, so they were getting old, and they had initially asked if they could place tanks in between the two buildings, and it was too close to the buildings, so they couldn't do that. So they had to go back underground.
They're doing an expensive job.
Yes.
Yeah, the big one.
It got more and more expensive as we found more and more contaminants.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I knew they were
from the tanks.
From
there's being
the, that was a old DEC site.
Oh yeah.
And they had spillage. I don't remember what year, but that's why there was two like monitoring sites on Edgewood, I believe.
Spill across right across the road from the liquor store.
Yep. And so that's why all the soil was contaminated. And they didn't get to it until they pulled the canopy out and took the asphalt all the way. And so now it's all clean.
Okay. Now, I read in the planning board there was something about the signs issue with the golf station.
Yes. What they're doing now, they applied for the canopy permit, which I granted. And then I asked them about signage and to make sure that it meets all the new planning board's signage regulations. They will be hopefully appearing on Monday to the planning board with all their signage.
It'll be all new.
Yeah, it'll be new. So they just want to make sure that it still meets the code.
Okay. All right, very good.
Jimmy, how come on a couple of them there's no fee or project cost?
Such as?
Like Eric Stoops.
Which one?
Eric Stoops.
Which page are you looking at?
The back number. First one.
Okay, because that Eric Stoops was, he needed a C of C. He never got one way back when, before permits were even issued. So he needed one for his bank. So there was no cost. I went and evaluated him home and gave him a C of C. Or C of O, actually, so you could actually occupy it according to the bank.
And then Diane LaShome, it doesn't take private costs.
Diana Schoen was probably no project cost, because if the building permit gets denied, there's no cost because it's denied. So we don't take money in for a denied permit until it gets approved. There's a couple of those this month. Any other questions, concerns?
If I do, I call you. Come down and bug me.
It's okay.
Can I make a motion we accept the full officer's report?
Yeah, I second that.
Thank you, all in favor?
Okay.
And planning board meeting Monday?
Yes. If that's the fourth Monday of the month, yeah.
It is.
Okay, we are.
Planning, waste of money.
All right, Paul, Doug Hill?
Here. Well, I think they are.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I think it's in.
Is that?
He's reading for it.
Ah, there you go.
Here's one for you, Tom.
Read that.
The parking commission offices are still operating at a 50% occupancy level with a scheduled Watertown-based staff. Where at any given time, half the staff is in the Watertown office and half are working from home. They are still all working full-time. About half of it's been in the Watertown office and half of it is remote working. So, and Tug Hill staff are available for meetings with the municipality. We have Matt Johnson with us tonight. The governor's executive order allowing remote meetings and public hearings, meetings such as Zoom, has been extended until September 4th. And I've been helping with that and I'll continue to help you with that. I attended the recent County Tourism Advisory Council meeting. It was the first they've had since December of 2019, because they usually don't meet in January and February. And you all know what happened in March. Things were starting to get crazy about the time that they had their regular scheduled meetings. But that didn't happen. And so we met in August for the first time since December. They probably will not meet again in September. They'll probably meet again next in October. One of the things that happened in March of 2020 was that the local government conference was canceled, and that's a major training opportunity for our planning boards and zoning board appeals. And so we've been working on setting up some training sessions for planning boards and zoning board appeals, both ones that you can attend in person and ones that you can attend remotely through means such as Zoom, to help planning boards and zoning boards with their annual training requirements. That will give them certificates for attending that they will be able to present to their municipalities for documenting that. The first sessions look like they're going to be at the end of September, and I suggest you watch the Tug Hill Times for further details as they're developed. As in past years, the Tug Hill Commission was able to get the services of a summer intern to assist municipalities with mapping local infrastructure, such as water, sewer, culverts, road signs, and so on. We offered this to the village once again in 2020, and I understand they were able to do some work for you this time. So that's a good thing. I'll look forward to hearing how that all wraps up.
What they do first?
They did some mapping. Yeah, I understand they did do the mapping. Now they had it scheduled on like Tuesday or Wednesday of that last week, I guess it would have been. I haven't heard how that came out, but the last time I knew it had been scheduled, so I'm assuming it took place. And we'll let you know what comes out of that, and think ahead to 2021, because this seems to have been something we've been able to do the last several years. So if there's any mapping you'd like to do that we can help you with, you know, we'll put you on the list for 2021. And then last but not least, I think I have the upper hand on the computer that used to be in the village clerk's office. We upgraded her computer, and we meant to move that old computer down to the wastewater treatment plant. At that time it was running Windows 7, and of course Windows 7 ran out at the end of partly through January of this year. I had some challenges getting that one to get upgraded to Windows 10, but I got it upgraded today. So I will be in touch with the wastewater treatment plant to get that set up for them, and they will have a Windows 10 computer at the wastewater treatment plant without the village having to spend any extra money for it. Now, you probably do have some computers you need to think about replacing in the future, but this defers that cost a little bit. And of course, the fiscal situation for all of us is a little bit uncertain because state aid has been questioned and sales tax revenue levels have been in doubt. And so and you don't want to spend money if you don't have it coming in. So I wanted to try to help the village with trying not to spend money if they don't have to do so for a very good purpose. So I think we've been able to accomplish that, and we'll have a better computer for the wastewater treatment plant and, without having to spend extra money for it. So that's all I have for you for today.
Yeah.
That will do it.
I received a memo from the county regarding AAA, which I think would be good posted on our website.
Okay. If you can forward that to me, or is it, I can take it and see if it's on the press release from the county. Yeah. I can put that up on the website. Yeah, I did put information up about the 2020 census on the village's website and the town's website as well.
Yeah.
And there's also information on the village's website about the townwide, which includes the village, garage sale, and then the cleanup day, the weekend following. So it's up on the village's website as well.
And do we have about the election coming up?
I don't know that I've gotten any information specifically about that, so.
Evelyn, if you'll send that information to him.
Yep, you get that up on the website. That'd be good information to have.
All right, any other questions?
I make a motion that we accept Paul's report.
Okay.
Okay.
All in favor?
All right.
Good. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
All right.
Take 2 stars out of that.
Matt Johnson, was there a manufactured home? Matt?
No? Yep, I'm here. Yep, hi everybody. Last month I was in person there, and I handed out the draft that we hope to go with for the zoning law and the zoning map. Mr. Gnatis looked at that after the meeting and got back to me with a comment that we slightly tweak section 660 on manufactured homes. I don't know if everybody's got their copy handy there. Yes, section 660. Remember, we had the conversation that mobile homes now need to be, or manufactured homes now need to be permitted wherever single family dwellings are permitted. So we made some changes to section 660 on page 21.
660.
And we're going to add in language saying that manufactured homes must conform with the identical development specification and standards, including general aesthetic and architectural standards applicable to conventional site-built single-family dwellings in the district in which the manufactured home is to be sited. I know that's a mouthful there, but that's language right out of the state legislation. So we're suggesting that that be added into section 660. And we also had the recommendation at the meeting last month that the mobile manufactured home overlay district be, the boundaries be changed just a little bit to sort of nip off the land at the very northern end of that proposed overlay.
Yeah, he was talking about.
And I.
All the road.
Oh, that's right.
The water line or something.
Yeah, if Jim is there, maybe he could recall that a little bit.
Yeah, I think it crossed two roads, you know, so that it didn't include the current lots or roads.
Yeah, crossed Route 26.
Yeah, you wanted to, it was easier to enforce if it would just call the road.
Correct. Out there. Well, one side of the road and not half of the,
right.
Half of parcels.
So that's going to be adjusted or altered, the map, the zoning? That be modified then on the mapping versus what we have right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. So we had those two suggested modifications. And I don't know if this would be the time, if any of the board members have any other suggested modifications, we would make those changes now.
Yes. Go ahead. I'm not sure where Edith Wright is on this.
Over here. And this is 26 here?
No, I think it's this
way. Oh, off of that then.
I think so. If that's the case. Yeah, Andre.
Follows the curve around.
And just past the curve, just for the water. Will this help you?
Here. Map the. Where's 81 on this map?
Well, the land adjacent along the creek is private land. I think that's private land is within the hash marks. Hmm. There's a small, I don't know, 3-4 acres.
Is it?
Yeah. Chris Miller owns it. He has a little woodwork and shop in there. If I'm reading that map right. What's the physical on that map?
Well, I'm trying to figure it out.
That would be down probably where this HC is. Mm-hmm.
Highway.
Commercial.
Commercial.
Yeah. Road curves.
So this is the.
Yeah, just the red line kind of follows 26. I think that's supposed to be.
Okay.
And then there you can faintly see a line through,
going through the HP.
The H and the P.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's right up to the end of Edith Drive.
That's 26?
Yes.
The
is that the
Oh, no, HP on screen? The outside. Right?
H9.
Yeah.
Is that the water
yeah.
line? Is that the waterway
this,
right there?
The creek is right here.
All right, because Edith Pond is just below the water in here. Right. Edith Pond is a double line right
yep.
there. But across the road.
Across the road is private property.
You might, yes. You might want to have somebody look at that if we're supposed to be accurate.
So now you do this draft up. Shouldn't have to make those modifications.
So they have a,
looking at the map and the location of Edith Pond and 26, and how it's laid out with the overlay.
The west side of Route 26, where it meets Edith Pond Drive, is privately owned. But there shouldn't be a hashtag, that a hash mark there.
Is that
in
right
the
there?
Place where, huh?
That little bit there?
No.
Where is that?
It's very hard to say. It might
it's between 80.
It might be like
okay.
this. This I believe is a field. But right across the road is, and the creek is actually out in here.
Mm-hmm.
but there's a 3-4 acre piece of ground there that is private.
Did you get that, Matt?
Yes. So how would that affect the map and the hatched area?
Well, you can't put a mobile home on somebody's private land.
Well, I mean, the owner of the land could, right?
Theoretically.
Yeah, I mean, what we're talking about here is what, you know, the owners of the land can do. This isn't something that the village would do.
It's just modified for individuals or anything?
Okay. If it's something he wanted to, yeah, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, the maximum width is 20, minimum width is 22 feet, 21. Okay. Now, but you don't have a specification on the length of it. So I could put one in that says 22 feet wide and 10 feet long. Yeah. I know I'm crazy, go ahead.
Yeah, it would have to have at least one dimension that was 22 feet, and that the intention is that would be the street facing dimension.
Yeah, okay, that's the width. All right. Now, how about the length?
We could clarify. I see what you're saying there. We could write that so that's makes more sense.
Yes, please.
The intention is that it would be the minimum 22 feet would be the street facing elevation.
Isn't the width, wouldn't the length then be covered by the 960, or is that only in the towns?
It's only in the town.
Yeah, I think that's only in the town. Although, if you're saying... Yeah, if you're saying the minimum width has to be 22, then wouldn't that dictate that all, yeah, what we're trying to say is that all sides have to be at least 22.
Oh, I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
Why would it?
But yeah, good point. Why don't we write it so that the street facing dimension is minimum of 22 feet. Would that work for everybody?
It still doesn't tell me how long I can make it.
Yeah, the idea is that it would fit in with a stick-built home in the village.
14, 18.
That's what I'm asking.
That's a minimum?
But that's in front. That's a minimum of 22 feet in front. Okay. So you make it 30, you can make it 40.
Okay. So if it's okay.
But if it's
you get a 14 wide mobile home, then you get, yeah. don't you have to setbacks on everything?
Yeah.
Will that encompass that? How wide do they come now?
What, 14? What? If they're sitting on the dealer's lot, is it like 14 this way by something?
That's my question. Is it 14 now?
I mean,
they used to be. I don't know.
I believe it's still 14 wide because I don't think you can get them down the road any.
Okay, so
right.
So you've got 8 feet of setbacks you can use up, right?
So you've got 10 feet for a setback in the village. For side yard in the VR district, it's 15 feet in the R district.
Okay, now if you've got something 14 feet, how much room do you have to have on the outside of both sides?
10 feet, right?
10 feet from the side lot line, like I said.
Okay, that's 34 feet.
Right.
22 feet is, you know, we got a camper.
Right.
But that's what I'm saying. I want to know. I don't want, you know, we don't want campers in the village Well, in the park, yes. I don't care what's in the park.
I mean, they make manufacturer's homes 24 feet is what the standard, I believe, is. 24 by 40 by 36 by 56. I mean,
that's a double wide, right?
Yeah, and that's a manufactured home, which is what we're talking about is manufactured homes, not mobile homes or.
So my point is, what's the narrowest
right
mobile home that you could buy?
Mobile home.
Well, that's what you're going to, you know, a double wide is going to burn up to 22 feet right then.
Right.
I believe, yeah, a single wide would be 14 feet.
Correct.
That's what we're trying to get away from in the village.
Right, and that's a mobile home. That would be a mobile. That's the one that comes on wheels.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
That's manufactured home.
And right? That's what that new district is for, is those type of things. Is that correct, Matt?
Yes. That's what the overlay would allow, the narrower, more traditional single-wide manufactured home.
What I'm saying is, if you have a 14-wide, what are the setbacks? What do the setbacks add up to the total width?
Well, your setbacks are where you have to set it from a property line. So here in the village, if you used a minimum lot,
10 feet on each side.
Yeah,
you have to
have 10 feet
in order to place it there. So you've got 22 feet to work with that, and you need 34 feet or 32 feet. So it's doesn't make sense.
You only need 22 feet is what we're saying.
Right, you'll need 22 with this. The minimum in this new standard.
Okay. What are you going to put on a 22-foot wide?
No, that's the 22-foot wide home.
You're saying the house must be
the house itself?
Yeah, it's minimum 22.
That is a minimum?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Minimum of 22 feet.
So in other words, you couldn't put a 14-by-70 mobile home in the village because you're now with this new rule, you're going to have to be at least 22 feet minimum.
Even if you're building
for the building.
I see.
Not to understand, you were thinking 22 foot lot or.
Really? You know, you got it.
Yes.
Well, that's what the piece of property that I bought right next to me, mm-hmm. you couldn't, with the new rules, you couldn't put a house in front, I mean, right where it used to be. You have to go in the back, mm-hmm. You know, like in the woods, in order to get that.
To meet the setback.
To meet the setbacks.
And you still have to meet the dimensions of the home, such as 20 feet wide. Right. And that's why the town has that 960 square foot rule. Because a 14 by 70 home is 980, I believe. So it has to meet, that has to be larger than 960. Right. Yeah. Cool. So you can't just put one of those 12 by 20 trailers in anywhere anymore.
Well, you put it that way.
It's still a size. It's square footage. It's the home that you're talking about.
I'm being a wide guy, I guess.
I know. Did that clear that up?
A little bit.
There is mud.
Yeah.
I hope I didn't step on his toes.
Were there any other concerns here that we got, man?
I just want to make sure what I'm hearing is right. Talking about. Yeah.
Well, that's why I wanted to know. Here's his width, and I want to know how long you can make it.
Well, you can make it
any length you want.
You can make it.
Yeah, there's no minimum. Yeah, there's. You can make it as long as you want.
No minimum. So I can make it 10 feet then. 22 by 10.
Manufactured home?
Yeah.
In order to meet the codes of bathroom size, bedroom size, all that stuff, you'd be really hard pressed to put it in there.
Oh, okay. Well, that's.
You know, I mean, you got to have all this other. I think you should still put a square footage rule in there like the town has.
What the town has for square footage?
Minimum 960.
960.
Square foot. 960.
And that would solve some of these problems. Is that correct, Matt?
Yeah, we could add that. We could add that just like the town has.
I mean, 960, that'd be 20 by.
Well,
what I'm getting at is at 960, you can't, that's more square footage than a single wide trailer will ever be.
Yeah.
So yeah. 980 was 14 by.
I think 14 by 70 is 980. I'd have to do the math real quick.
Oh, sorry. I'm just trying to get that relationship.
Right.
So if we're consistently going 960.
Yes, 960 is what the town has. Yeah. And that would alleviate most of the problems because you don't meet the square footage goal instantly. So
yeah.
If you're afraid of homes like that coming in.
So if we used to say you got to have a 960 foot, at least a 960 foot square
house.
On a single lot.
Try to stay current with what's being built today. And,
right.
You know, if you're doing that, then you get these people that are building these, you know,
Tiny homes. And tiny homes are, once again, they're not manufactured homes.
Right.
No, they're sticky.
Well, yeah, but they're not. They're in the other realm, which is where you're going to put all these other homes that come on wheels. Is that correct, Matt?
Yes. Yep. And if somebody wanted to do that, they could always try to get an area variance. So this isn't, you know, if somebody did want to do some kind of a smaller home, they could still seek an area variance. So you're not completely closing the door, but you're making it harder to not conform with the traditional development in the village.
That sounds good. Mm-hmm.
What size do these mini homes run?
Many homes are small.
They can live in it. They say they can.
One room, bedroom, bathroom.
It's kind of like a camper, basically, is what they are.
Because a lot of these younger people, the only thing they use a house for is to sleep. You know, they're not. They go out for lunch. They go out for breakfast. They go out for dinner.
So, do we want to add a minimum square footage on this?
I think. Yeah,
I think it would help four, explain it.
Yeah,
so we'll stick with a little bit of town staff.
Four, six?
All right, I think it's
640, you said, right?
960.
960. I don't know what the hell I'm thinking of.
Nine hundred sixty square feet.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, I think it's a good idea to have an alley cut.
Now that becomes a minimum?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
If you want to put a 2,000 square feet house on, that's fine.
Well,
would you try to?
Anything to get back on the sewer, please.
14 by 60.
14 by 70 is 90.
Okay, but what happens if a guy wanted to roll in with a 14 by 60?
He wanted to roll in and you said you have to have 960, I would deny his permit and send him to the ZBA.
Okay.
Yep. That's what I'd have to. He'd come in and say, "I like the places here," and I'd say, "I'm denying it due to the zoning rule here," and then I send him over to the ZBA chair.
Well, I guess that would be a little confusing. Why go through the motion if you're going to make somebody go get a variance?
So then,
I'm just asking, right. You know, if the standard is 960, where'd that standard come from? And
I believe the town, and Matt would know more, wanted to make sure that you had nothing smaller than the 14 by 70s. They didn't want these old 10 by 30 units coming in, you know,
12
by,
you know.
Right. That's correct.
14 by 50 or something like that.
And that's what they didn't want was the smaller homes.
So you're forcing people to buy new homes.
No, you can, if you have one, you can keep it. It's pre-existing non-conforming. This is just for...
But what if I got, you know...
That's correct.
14 by 54 and the guy wants to move it in there. Then he has to seek a variance. Mm-hmm.
Correct. And the ZBA may or may not grant the variance. The ZBA, you know, they make their decision based on the conditions on the site and in the neighborhood. They don't have to say yes. They can say no.
Because the ZBA has a set of criteria that they have to apply. The ZBA has a set of criteria that they have to apply, and one of those conditions is it a self-created hardship?
Self-created hardship.
Well, if you want something. Yes.
But that's the ZBA's got their criteria to apply.
Right.
Whether or not to get to the process of whether or not to grant variance.
I think this is where I'm heading. If you've got to jump through hoops for a guy to put a standard unit in, why restrict it so much? You know, instead of 960, figure out 14 by 50 or whatever they count.
Well, that's up to you, but
Well, this is what I'm saying. Right. And why should they be subjected to having to go to get a variance when it's up to them whether they want to do it or not? The guy's got a right to put something in there.
Like I said, that's up to the town board to approve what the planning board has done. And it's just the character of the neighbor, you know, the neighborhood. Is that correct, Matt, again?
Yes. Yep. And keep in mind that right now you're prohibiting manufactured homes altogether in the village. That's sort of been the policy of the village for years and years to just prohibit these. So now we're trying to go to a scheme where you're allowing the single wide manufactured homes in that mobile home park overlay, but you're trying to direct them into that overlay and keep the rest of the village having that wider house form.
It's kind of like a commercial district. Nobody wants you have a three story home yourself. Nobody wants the gas station or whatever next to you. Even in a village, you don't, unless you're in a commercial zone. So this allows all those people that may want that to move into a different zone or that zone for that. You know, I mean, it's zoned for smaller homes.
Okay, so if it's 960, he could move anywhere he wants.
Currently in the village, you can't until we change the rules.
Well, this is the part that's confusing.
Mm-hmm.
If a guy has 960 square foot house, he can still only put it in this manufactured.
No.
He can put it anywhere in the village.
If it's 22 feet wide,
right,
he can put it anywhere. But if it's not 22 feet wide, then it would have to go into the manufactured home park overlay.
That's what I'm asking.
That's the proposal.
Yeah.
Boy. 22 feet. I was wondering why you were asking.
That's the 960.
Well, I didn't think people should be prohibited, but if they can put 22 plus foot anywhere they want. Brutal.
Now, if there's a home currently on a lot, such as like the Bubas property, for example, and they may have had a 10 by 50 and they took it out, within 1 year, you can replace it with the same size. Mm. If it's past a year, right. You're out of luck, you can't do it anymore.
I remember hearing that.
Yes.
You are listening.
So there may be some in the village, but not that I can recall anywhere.
I think there's maybe one.
Trailer?
Right over here.
Yeah, on Rider Street, yep.
And I think there's one over on North Railroad Street.
Carl Jennings.
Yeah, Carl Jennings.
Place. That was a modular or?
No, that was a trailer.
Double
wide? No, it's a single.
It was put in like
100 years ago.
Yeah, it was put in before the new laws came in.
So the only one that I've been here that I'm aware of is what's Scoob County Housing Development building over here on, or what used to be their building. The ground, they have an empty lot, and there's a building right next to it. Yeah, on Rider Street, it's that tan.
Updykes put that in originally.
It's a tan colored structure.
Yeah. I think Updykes put that in.
Moral House. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, moral.
Pearl. But isn't that where Updykes used to, they put it in? Okay, so yeah, that was a test at that time, I think.
Yeah,
they were talking about putting one in the lot behind the Oswego County House. But they never did.
That one right next to the old fire station, right here in the corner.
That's what we're talking about.
That is what we're talking about. And if I remember right, that was a trailer, but because he put it on a foundation, a solar foundation, they allowed them to put it in.
So
am I right?
If there's a stick, yeah. Yeah, I don't know about the code, but
that was a double.
But if it was put on a solar foundation,
and
it was acceptable.
Right.
Correct.
Right.
Because modulars come in and they get stuck on foundations.
They come in on wheels.
Right.
But the wheels take off. Yeah.
The wheels go away and don't stay.
The steel frame remains.
No steel frame on those.
No. The other
is there no?
On a modular. No.
Oh, okay.
A double wide, they take the steel frame away.
But on a double wide trailer, they don't take the wheels off. They take the wheels off, but they leave the frame there, and also with
the chassis.
Yes, basically the chassis is steel on manufactured homes. It's steel. Modular doesn't have any steel normally. Modular will come in, they will build it just like any conventional builder would build, except they bring it in sections and connect the sections.
Right.
But there's no field normally where they pull it down the road. I mean, that's permanent.
Well, they brought in on a steel trailer.
Right, they brought
it on a steel trailer.
And then I said the steel goes away.
Right.
But, yeah, but the steel, but they don't have to. When they pick up the house, the steel is still in the trailer. Right. Yeah.
The steel and the wheels go away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Leaving you with just the wall and maybe a piece
with
of
a tie down. Wall.
Right.
And that's modular
compared
to manufactured.
Right.
So manufactured, the steel frame stays with it?
Correct.
Yes. That's
your mobile home, manufactured home.
Very hard.
Yes.
In the world of zoning, we are trying to get away from the word trailer and get rid of the negative connotation. Negative connotation.
Oh, let it be what it is.
And so a manufactured home can come in two separate metal trailers. Just attach the two together.
Or
it's still manufactured.
Or three.
Three, or yes.
Or ten, who cares?
Yeah.
But they normally are one story, sometimes two at the moment. But modulars, you can build like it's stick built.
Some of them now are two.
Right.
You know, you go down here on 11.
Yeah.
And there's two that are two stories, and they have some that are one.
Yes, and they still come on, but the bottom frame has metal on it, so I believe. Is that correct, Matt?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
All right. Things are getting clearer.
Yeah. Okay.
Our minimum is 960. Would we put that in there?
I would.
Yeah, I think for consistency, it'd be good.
I mean, put that as an emotion?
So we just
include it in there.
Okay.
Okay. Are there any other changes suggested?
I don't think so.
No.
I think everything was okay.
So what I can do is make those changes to the text and the map. And then if you're happy with that, next month you can begin the actual adoption procedure. Your village attorney has signed off on the changes. So the next month you could start with the official adoption, and that would include doing the seeker review, which I can do. I can fill out that paperwork for you. And then there's a list of things that needs to be done. And the law needs to be sent to the county planning board. But we can begin that next month if you'd like.
Did we address the grass in this new version of the zoning law? Remember the grass that?
I thought that was just the mobile home over there that they were addressing. Was that?
The maintenance.
Still
the maintenance law that the attorney was working on. Could we include that verbiage in here?
thought there was some interval.
Yeah, I think there was.
I don't remember because I know at the planning board level, we have yet to review the entire village zoning like we did for the town, because we were waiting for, I guess, for this overlay to be taken care of. Because then once it's rolled in, then it's already there, and then we can go around.
Yeah, this was the one that was done in 17 or 18, I believe.
And we're trying to catch up. Yeah.
Yes.
I know that it was the grass was more than 9 inches in the village. We were supposed to contact the owners and see what, you know, and they had to reply back, and then we had to send one more letter saying, well, if you don't take care of it, we're going to
put it on your tax bill.
Right. It also included what areas of the lot, and I'm wondering if you guys should include this in the zoning law instead of making up a whole another local law. If you just include it with zoning, it would be all in one document. Not have to have another local law on top of your zoning law.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds.
You know, and I can forward on the votes that we passed. Very simple, very easy. I have
but usually, what
is it right now?
If I remember right, it says something about only the front lawn, front part. They don't care about the back, right?
No, currently it states the whole lot.
Well, that's what I should
be. Well.
Which is very hard to enforce because we have a lot of woods in the town. And how do you?
Well,
in the village? Yeah, we do have woods.
Well,
I know my own parcel. I've got.
I have four
in the back of mine.
Distance from the house to.
Right, and that's included though. That's what the attorney is looking at.
I thought,
did we pass that in May?
We talked about it, but I don't think we passed it as a local law.
We didn't make it a local law.
So that's still not.
Do you remember what it ended up at?
It was never passed, to my knowledge, right?
No, I don't think
so.
I think that's something you have to revisit then and nail down.
I'm just saying, if you nailed it down, we could include it in this, and you have to.
I got 4.5 acres behind my house.
Right.
That I cut hay off of. And I'm not going to make it a lawn.
No, it's something that's like 100 feet
around the house or something like that.
Well, that was
right, and that's what they.
I don't remember reading it.
Yeah, because I got one. I got two and a half acres of woods.
Now this would be instead of a local law, then we could include it in here.
If you could, it'd be great. I believe. Right? Are you with me again, Matt?
Yep, I'm here. Is that something you could send me to look at?
Yep.
We could figure out how we would put that in.
It'll happen.
Yep, I'll have that tomorrow at the latest.
Yeah.
I mean, we could look at it.
Yeah.
Okay.
The village doesn't have a property maintenance law currently? This would be a new thing?
No, I think we do have one, Mayor, because we looked it up somewhere. It's a local law already. It's when Bob Campbell was a trustee way back
17 years ago.
Probably thereabouts, yeah.
Sure, I think I took this place.
Because we did, the mayor asked me about it, and we went and found it, but I don't remember what it was. Local law, I believe, it was not part of zoning. It was just a local law that we found.
So yeah, you could either amend that or you could add it into the zoning. It's really your choice.
Probably the thing to do. But in zoning, that way it's just there. It's always there.
Okay. I guess I'm kind of lost as one of the planning board members for the village. Are you guys amending the entire zoning law or just amending a piece of it for the overlay?
Piece of it for the overlay.
Oh, okay.
I think.
That's what I'm saying, because normally at the planning board, we go through everything and tweak it, or Tim makes suggest changes, and then forward the entire updated package to the, like we did to the town. The town board got a whole new package from us.
Yeah, I think we've done things in it.
But see, we have the planning board. We haven't done that for the village yet. We're intending to do that for the village. We haven't started yet, along with comprehensive plan.
10 years.
Isn't the village board catching up with suggestions that were made several years ago. So
okay.
So they're not even up as far as you taking on new
property. Okay, because I'm getting, because he's, because I get the goes on for like gotcha. The zoning, and I thought, wait a minute, this is an overlay. Wait a minute.
True.
So if this gets included in under zoning, what happens to the local law that was already in existence?
You can repeal that.
It's more yeah.
redundant.
So just so the outcomes
Right. Yeah. Somehow pretty gets into something. Yeah. This piece repeals.
There's just more to think about. Yeah. How you want to do it.
Okay.
We haven't discussed it, so
I need to set it from here up.
All right. Anything else for discussion?
No, I think we're all set.
All right. And anything else, Matt, that we need to?
Well, just if somebody would email me the language that we're talking about that you want to include about the lawns, send that to me and I will work it in somewhere into the law if that's the route you want to go.
The lawyer said he would mail it to you.
Okay, great. Okay, and that's it then. Then we just need to make those changes and then we can start the adoption process.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Very good. All right. That's good.
One job behind us. Now we'll look at Ian.
My turn?
Yep.
Okay. So we're at a point now where we're ready to conclude the environmental review for the wastewater treatment plant project. We sent the review packages to all the agencies, DEC, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, SHPO, and all the other agencies that are required to be contacted as part of the seeker process. We received responses back from most everybody. Essentially, there's no issues at the existing wastewater treatment plant site. As far as an environmental review goes, there's no wetlands, there's no endangered threatened species, there's no Indian burial grounds, there's nothing that we need to worry about, as far as any sort of environmentally sensitive areas would be considered. So with that being said, I prepared a standard resolution that we use. It's on the agenda under new business, but prepared the resolution for the board's consideration. Also prepared the environmental assessment forms that are required to accompany the resolution, as well as the negative declaration that's required to accompany the resolution. So all those documents have been prepared. I'm not going to go through the environmental assessment form in detail unless the board would like me to. What I can tell you is based on our professional opinion and our review of all the information that we have, we don't anticipate there being any significant environmental impacts as part of an improvements project at the wastewater treatment plant site. So that covers that portion. We are obviously in progressing the engineering report. The village actually received their notice of violation from the Department of Environmental Conservation. So that has been sent. So we will include that obviously in the report with our funding application. I can tell you that the New York State Environmental Facilities Corporation, which is the state program, had a webinar earlier today, and there was good news as part of that webinar, and there's bad news as part of that webinar. So the good news is that through your state revolving fund, they are accepting applications through September 21st of this year. So we have time to get those get this project submitted to them, get the engineering report submitted to them, and get it approved, get it listed on the IUP, and potentially receive funding through that program. The The bad news is that they alluded to the fact that they will not be accepting applications for the program this year and or anytime soon.
Well, what is the program?
For the MIA program, which is the Infrastructure Improvements Act. I guess it wasn't a big surprise, but you know, that was the question everybody had, was whether or not that program was still going to, be in place for this year. They did absolutely say it's not going to be, but again, they alluded to the fact that, they're not accepting applications at this time. So I take that to believe that, take that to understand, probably they will not accept applications this year for that program. That's still, with that being said, USDA is still accepting applications. I've got a bunch of applications into the other projects. So I think we stay the course, we finish the engineering report, we get everything submitted to the state program as well as to the federal government, and see what kind of funding we can get, then we can go from there. So my plan, I see the next board meeting is September 16th. At that board meeting, I'd like to present the engineering report to the board, present our recommendations to the board, and present the estimated project costs. At that time, we can ultimately finalize and make a decision that yes, we want to submit funding applications, and then we'll make sure we get that funding application in by the September 21st deadline through the SRL.
That sounds good.
Any idea how the income surveys are going to affect it, the results?
Don't know.
Now that's the decision that they will, information they will use to make the decision?
That's correct. Yep. So obviously with the funding applications that we submit, we're going to provide that income survey to them. That was done in 2017. That's another reason why I want to get the applications in as soon as we can. Mm-hmm. And, at that point, it's going to be at their discretion, whether they want to accept it or not. Okay, the fact that it's been, over 3 years now since it was done. So,
because if they go off the one from the comptroller's report,
right,
it's not going to look good.
Right. So, again, that's why I emphasize let's get everything in as soon as we can, and not wait. As soon as you lose, so.
Okay.
So
well,
that's what we're going to do.
While we're here, and you've got. Yes, I forwarded you the resolution being passed. So if you look that over, we need a motion for this resolution. And I had it further on the agenda, but while you've got the paperwork in front of you, I'll just submit it. Hopefully you've read it through and familiar with it.
I've read it.
Considering proposal to construct wastewater improvement project. That's my name. All right, is there a motion? Or
I'm making
still
a motion. Looking?
I'm sorry. You have the paper, Evelyn? Okay. So, seconded by Jackie, voting.
All right.
All right. All right.
And opposed? Do we need a roll call vote on that? Does it make a difference? Just a favor?
Yeah, I think that's fine. Nope.
All right, abstaining is none, absent are none, and reporting officer. All right, so that resolution is passed.
Yep. So with that, the last page of the Part B, Mayor, you'll need to sign that.
Right. Okay.
And, if you want to give me copies before I leave tonight, or if you want to send them to me,
I can give you a copy.
Well, we have to send this information to the DEC and the Department of Health, so we will do that on behalf of the village.
Okay.
You appreciate that.
Yeah, that's why I'm here.
You want to copy that, and he can take it with him.
That guy would want to do a lot of things.
No.
I wasn't impressed with him. Is he playing a role he has to feel obligated to?
I'm not sure. I've never dealt with that gentleman before.
I would have been quite insulted.
So I'm not, I'm not sure what role he was, he was trying to play.
And I called the DEC and made a mistake and got his phone.
Oh,
so I hung up real quick.
Well, you know, I can tell you that I, following that phone call, I had a conversation with the regional permits administrator, and you know, he made a comment to me that. You know, their water division, in which that gentleman was part of, is not necessarily familiar with the environmental review process when it pertains to funding. So, you know, it is what it is. We'll keep moving forward.
I'll try to get it out.
I'll try to be crossing paths again somewhere with him.
Oh, we definitely will. That'll be
all right. Well, very good. Very good. Thank you. Is there other questions or anything we need to discuss at the end? We'll move at them.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you, Ian.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that. All right. Going on, we have Rick Miller with us, and he's the one that purchased the property adjacent to the dump site on Bangle Road. And being landlocked, there were a number of different avenues, and he had questioned a right-of-way on our property, and we proposed that maybe he could make the purchase of the property that we have. So, Rick, would you like to speak to any of that? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
Of course. Thank you for your time. Just real quick intro. I grew up in Bombing. I married Selena Carbaugh, who grew up in Dugway. We settled in Mexico. I currently own a house in Mexico that's up for sale. So if you know anybody that's up for house, send them our way.
Where in Mexico Village?
In the village, in between Ames and Spring Street,
okay.
On the hill there. So we purchased. I have three kids, and oldest being six. We purchased this property through the tax auction for really cheap. We're trying to get more in the country, more away from the village, more. Anyways, it's a crazy time. I'm just trying to move out in the. But anyways, it was, it's landlocked, obviously. So that's why I'm here. We're trying to get a low cost build done, simple ranch, that we can live in and raise our kids. It's unfortunately. The money that you guys are requesting for the village property.
It was just a.
Yeah, that's.
We haven't made a request yet. We're just filling out a
present. I can't do anything like that right now at this time. In the future, after the village happens, I may be in a better position financially. So either there's only a couple options that are left. The one that I was thinking is obviously cheaper. For the village property, it is a dump site. I tried calling the DEC multiple times. I tried to get through to them.
Mm-hmm.
I understand there's old wells on the site. That's great news. It's something we can use for the build. There's clear land there that I can use for the build, but I can't come up with that amount of money at this time. After speaking with the town, it's come to our attention that we need 220 feet of road frontage to build. We cannot build, get a right of way to just build behind somebody else.
Which I think is stupid for the planning board to do that. But, however, you can go over their heads.
Yes, to the variance.
For the variance, and if they deny you, still go to the Sligo and have them overrule if you want.
Yes, but I still have to get.
Yeah, you have
right away through the village, and the right away is not going to be permanent to my property. It's going to be just a temporary right away for me to be able to use that right away. So when it comes time to sell it in 20, 30, 40 years or whatever, I'm going to have an issue with that. I spoke with High Gage, who owns the property in front of. It's a trailer, thin trailer right there. She was difficult. She wants a bunch of money for nothing. and I'm not going to pay that. I'll wait until it goes to tax auction. So that, and that, but that's not 220 feet either.
Right.
So
as far as the right of way, I don't think we have any problem with it.
Okay. Do we have a problem that we would like to sell for to sell? And then what price?
Well, yeah, but I haven't really looked at the property. All I know is the road there. I don't know how far back it goes.
It goes back 200 or 300 yards. You used to make a circle, like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I have a layout right here of the property if you guys would like it. And I also have an alternate proposal to give me that 220 feet of road frontage. If my wife did a measurement from the edge to there, that would be 220 feet, and box it in there, that would equal 10 acres. If separating that out is interesting to you guys as well.
So, okay, this right here,
This is the property that I bought, these two, the 9 and the 20. And yeah, this is the village
two,
property.
Yeah, these two right here.
These two right here.
Yeah, this one and that, no.
And I was proposing this box to the back of the property, give me the 10 acres there and the 220 road frontage.
So you would come up here and...
I would build somewhere in here because I know that there's a well in there.
Okay.
Well, there's four wells that the DEC put in there. Now, I don't know if you want to consider them wells.
Right.
They're testing wells.
They're testing wells. They're not water wells.
Okay.
They're testing for possible contaminants.
Right.
So they're not.
No. Are they only dug 25 feet or something like that?
Right.
Just
to my knowledge, okay. Something like that. You would have to talk with them. I don't know how long they need to maintain those wells.
Right. I mean, we're if they come back clean, I'm okay with the property. I believe the property to be clean, but it's still scary because it is a dump site. I don't know really.
Well, it hasn't been used since
how old is it?
1960, roughly.
Oh, okay.
And it's when somebody wants to go in there and take all the scrap metal things. We've done that in the past.
I heard that the surveyor went and surveyed it because people were taking trees off the backside of the
property.
It
was logging.
Yeah. Somebody came into that other property and logged that as well from the other side, yeah.
Yeah, so well, it's all settled.
So this piece here, 10 by 250 foot.
This is 220.
220.
From the edge of the Heidi Gage property
uh-huh.
to then it goes 220 into your property.
All right.
And then it's going to shoot straight back to another line. So it goes beyond my property line?
Yeah, but this would be my
property line.
It'd be the back of our line.
Yeah, the back of your line.
Okay.
And so it ends up being 10.03 acres.
So
something like that.
So you wanted to buy that, right?
If I could buy that, that would solve a lot of issues for everybody. And
the total acreage
or
the dump.
Or a much lower price on the full. So then I would be interested in that.
6 acres. If you take 10 from it,
you don't want to know what the other 30.
No.
The number of lots in front of yours.
There's
a number of lots. And
one,
none
two,
of those are,
three.
Are available for
purchase. I spoke, my wife knows the people right next to. They have the lot of road frontage right there. The guy was a Navy vet like myself. And they didn't want to give up any
neither
of that.
Of
but they were fine with us building behind them.
Yeah.
We sat down in their living room and they spoke. They were happy to have somebody decent move in.
And it's both of those lots, I know?
No, just
one
this
those?
One. It's the.
Yeah.
It's like a ranch with a double garage.
And Heidi had the little one.
The little one, yeah.
And then the other person wasn't.
I haven't spoken.
Okay. Not that it matters.
No, because there was no in for me to get in the door there. My wife worked with the lady at Walmart, and we messaged her through Facebook, and we ended up talking to them. So,
10 acres. What's the average? What's the average?
Is that who you ask?
Yeah.
In
this market, let's not talk about that. 1,000 an acre would be.
1,000 an acre.
I mean, that's that used to be going.
That would be a gift. The acreage I've looked at lately is 2,000 plus.
I understand. Yeah.
Well, I'm not.
Just
no, I
understand. So your eyes are open.
Yeah, no, I understand.
That would open your eyes.
You see, $1,000 an acre, and this is, we'll call it 10 acres.
Let me do the math for you.
Yeah. Use my calculator? I mean,
I'm just trying to.
Because I know that the dump said it was about 40. It was 40, assessed at about 40. Okay.
30.
39. 40.
Yeah.
10,000?
Mm-hmm. 10 acres, 10 acres wide.
Yeah.
I offered to do the math.
Well, my brain's not as good as it used to be. Right?
39.
30.
That's what an assessment was. Okay.
$39,000.
Well, I think you gotta.
But I think.
Think about it, and you know. Okay, so you. You're going to end up with a plot of 26 plus acres after you subtract the 10. That's still saleable.
Yeah.
Just a lot of things you got
to with open lot, it's going to be still be there. You're going to be able to put that on open market and sell it.
Yeah.
You know, but again, if something could be done with the price for everything, I would be interested in that as well.
Well, it's something we could talk about.
Yeah. I think it would benefit everybody. And I mean, to have a house on there and do the taxes that you paid
out. Well, actually, it would benefit the town with the building.
it would benefit a lot of people, but we have to talk about that.
Okay.
I mean, if you guys didn't want to sell it to him, couldn't we also just offer a permanent right-of-way to that property? Even if he sells it, it goes with the deed?
That was my other question.
I believe there's, because I've looked at properties that were like that, they had permanent right-of-ways to waters,
sure.
Et cetera. I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah, but that, would be, just a, it was that would be more or less.
But the problem with that is it doesn't give you the road for it.
It doesn't, and that's where you.
Right, and that's. I spoke with Paul Gage on the matter just for some information because they called me as well. And I asked Paul, can the road frontage be an easement? And he did not believe so. He believes that everything they say is the property owner has to have 220 feet of road frontage.
Which I think is.
Well, the village is still the owner.
Right.
If you give him a right of way, it can be any.
Like I said, I just spoke with Paul, and
I did it a long time ago.
I think that would be the cheapest way for me to get to where I need to be, and I'm all for that because I think I was never planning on buying 30 acres.
The thing,
you know what I'm saying? I have 30 acres, and I'll turn it into 75 or something. So,
There's the attorney.
The thing is. Your right of way becomes your driveway, which is a little more than a right of way.
Right, but what he's saying though is he doesn't believe that the right of way gives you the road frontage.
Doesn't give
him
but then again, it's a pre-existing condition.
Well, yeah, now
which means the ZBA theory could rule on it.
Right. Again, I mean, that's like I said, there's a lot of what ifs.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, there's a lot of, you know, you got to. Really look into this and
right.
Well, I know as far as right of ways,
I did it 40 years ago.
Well, yeah,
it's probably different today.
Has the rules on that changed a lot?
Unfortunately, I'm not a real estate area. That goes down.
You know what?
Real estate.
Is Matt Johnson still here?
No, he dropped off.
That would be a good question for Matt.
Well, the only reason we own property, my father owned property, and we had to give a farmer right away down to the creek to feed his animals.
Yep.
The only stipulation was that he had to fix that fence on our side. He also fixed the fence on the guy who owned the other property.
Right,
we each gave him
but you weren't placing a dwelling with zoning regulations about dwellings for that right of way. I mean, everybody has right of ways to the lake.
Well, this landlocked land has become an issue.
Right.
Which I don't understand how it got landlocked.
Well, it could have been an illegal subdivision way back when, even before zoning land.
Well, this lot's hooked up to the original owner.
Yes.
And then this is a tax sale.
Right.
Right.
Okay, so.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, so now it became landlocked.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if there was something you should have done, somebody should have done it.
Yeah.
But it's a tax sale. What are you going to do?
Right. That's what I'm saying. That's.
Well,
we don't at the planning board level now, we do not normally create or nor allow somebody to create a landlocked piece of property.
Be a process. Why not?
Yeah.
But I want to know why not. I mean, I'm
for these reasons.
For these reasons, right?
I understand where he's saying they don't do that because then it becomes an issue that mm-hmm. he's having.
Right.
This wasn't an issue that they created. This is an issue created by a tax auction sale, which nobody created has control of.
Okay. Right. Now. If I remember one of the classes that I took up to Watertown, the guy said that the guy was talking about landlocked property and like that.
Flag lots, that's two, yeah.
Huh?
Flag lots, landlocked, same.
Yeah.
Both of those are in the same category, yeah.
Yeah, and he goes, you can force the town or the county or the county to set up a right-of-way for you, and there's nothing they can do about it. But you have to go through all this rigmarole, like he's doing now.
Yeah, I don't want to put anybody in a position. I just met you guys.
Oh, don't worry about us.
I know, but you know what I'm saying. It's just, obviously, I think the easiest way would be to come up with a price that we can be happy with to just buy that property. Mm-hmm. To split it would be a new survey, and that's all money, attorneys, and all that. The right of way would be more variances and more attorneys and all that. So,
I think the right of way would probably be the cheapest option.
Yes, the right of way would be the cheapest.
Yeah, option. But then that doesn't solve his other problem.
No, but it's,
well, that you get a variance for it.
Right, you just get a variance for it. I don't think the zoning board would turn that down because it's not a condition.
Well, it doesn't go to
created.
Right.
It's not it goes to the ZBA board, right?
And as long as he gets permission from us or whoever to get a right of way, a permanent right of way, that really shouldn't be an issue to get a variance to build that, I wouldn't think.
So again, like the ZBA's got like 5 or 8 criteria they have to go down through, and mm-hmm. somewhere in that process or in that line comes up self created. In other words, right. They could look at it as, and I'm not saying how they would do it, but they could look at it as saying, oh, he bought these at a tax sale. Yeah, okay. He knew they were landlocked. Oops, self-created hardship. That's what they could see.
That's one of their big ones.
They could see it. I don't know.
Right.
But I'm not
right.
The ZBA.
No, you can't speak for the ZBA.
Right.
So.
As long as they put down on paper how they got to their decision, so that if that decision is challenged enough, we go to court, the judge goes, ZBA, quasi judicial board. Oh, here's how they got to their decision. Did they do this, this, and this? Yes, they did. Well, too bad, so sad, person. Bye. They did their job.
Who could challenge him?
Hmm?
Who would challenge him? Who can challenge him?
Should the county?
If the ZBA.
The landowner would challenge the ZBA's ruling and take it up to another court.
Right.
I don't want to do any of that.
Once the CBA approves it, there's not likely anybody to challenge it, right?
Yeah.
Unless it was a neighbor and they don't.
Time is money, right? You know what I'm saying? That's a lot of time. And
I don't understand why they couldn't approve it.
CBA board is.
You also have to be aware of
sometimes it not.
Is if you purchase that
property,
you have to find them.
But it's
under one deed.
Shouldn't stop somebody
to move forward.
Doesn't have 220 feet of road.
Why would they not grant?
If you were to something go wrong, you were passed tomorrow. Now you have three separate properties.
Well, they sold 10 acre piece
and
you
decided to build
road frontage.
Even if you cast that
narrow piece or whatever.
See what I'm saying? So anytime you place a property, it's got
to
be on. You may own the ones all the way around it.
If you had to fly,
but if something were to happen and you sell one lot,
the plan was to build on the 9 acres to come down on taxes, but when we're doing the 220-foot road frontage, you have to combine all the deeds.
That could be 100 feet wide. 50 feet wide.
And you could just own that strip.
I understand why you got the 220 now. I understand why you guys passed that.
I just enforce the laws.
Yeah, no, no, I understand.
The town did that because they wanted, I guess, to have make sure that people could
have room between homes.
Right.
Yeah.
The problem I have with like selling the property altogether is that if he digs it up and he's going to say he changes and builds his house there, that used to be a dump site. Let's say he digs up and finds a bunch of contaminants, DEC comes in and says something. We're still liable for that. I don't care if it's 30 years, 40 years, I'm not a lawyer.
But when you disclose it,
it doesn't matter if you disclose it. I mean, look at how many DEC people dig up a piece of property and they're spending hundreds of thousands of millions of dollars to dig down 30, 40, 50, 80 feet. Because it's a dump, and the village owned it, and it was a basement.
Your house is on your lane.
Right.
Not the dump.
Unless I move it.
Right, like I do have some clear
Well, land. There we go.
I think you're wrong on that, because now, when the guy bought the Yankee Trader, okay, he was told by the DEC that he had to put in a new, he had to take up those old tanks. The new owner, not the old one.
Well, let's see. What do you think of this?
Well, this one's for you. Depends on the tank. If you do a full-on warranty deed sale, or you've disclosed everything, and it's made so. It's the new owner's problem.
I was just a concern that, you know.
Yeah, well, now they have
a lesser sale with no title insurance, nothing like that, where it was a little bit. Like, okay, well, you don't guarantee the current boundaries or anything like that. If it's a lesser sale, not a full-on warranty deed sale, then you might have some issues.
I just know that, you know, you look at, like, places like where they manufacture properties, you know, back in the 50s and 60s, and they were dumping stuff on the ground. Mm-hmm. Now they're back there, going back to GE, that owned the property back then, and they don't pay for it. I know there's a bunch of that still happens.
The argument would be whether the dumping was a result of negligence or something of that nature.
Which Gene probably did.
Wow. I'm just using as an example.
But this is, we are aware that there could be issues. Most likely with those sales, that was not disclosed. This was a dump site.
I just wanted to point that out, and, you know, possibilities. And, you know.
It's similar to the Gulf Station.
Mm-hmm.
They purchased that property knowing
it was a gas station.
Right. Knowing that it was a DEC site. The old owners aren't responsible for the cleanup. The new owners are because they purchased it knowing.
Okay.
This is where we are in the discussion, is the research to find out the best way to handle it. And depending on what the DEC finds in their test wells, I think somebody would have to rattle their chain.
I emailed them asking those questions and I haven't had any answer.
Because they were on there this year taking tests.
But they didn't leave any contact information, and I asked them what testing they did,
what the results of their test were before we move forward with that.
But irregardless of that, if we have to have a certain kind of sale where we're not held harmful.
That's just the normal, every basic transaction in New York State.
And that,
with two attorneys, which is required.
As long as you disclose everything that you know.
It's going to be a warranty deed sale. You really see lesser sales when it's like family members, between family members, or things like that. Any pretty much real estate sale now is just pulling it out.
Well, it's been 60 years. Roughly since that place has been used, and it's been nothing but cleaned up.
Right.
Since.
And they put on it. What was jumping up
there? Instead of going to the transfer station, every town had a dump.
Because they didn't have transfer stations back then.
This was first generation stuff.
All right.
How much that stuff is buried up there? Does anybody have any idea?
I don't think anything got buried. People used to bring their
throwing out their
rubbish in. and it would be burned.
Okay.
Because we used to shoot rats. And since then, we've done enough to clean it up.
No, I get that.
So,
it's just like I said, I just wanted to, that was my real concern of that possibility would be that.
Well, now the...
Well, that's like, we got to get a hold of the DEC.
Yeah.
Trying to get some information on those test wells.
Mm-hmm.
And the Syracuse. Right there at Hiawatha Boulevard.
Yeah.
Right there. That used to be right where the baseball stadium is. And, that used to be a dump.
Yeah.
And a big one.
In Oil City across the street. Yeah.
In Oil City across the street.
Yeah, right. Oil City, they're still cleaning
it. And they bought it knowing that that's what it was, so.
Yeah.
Bronson bought it, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think right now we're at a standstill.
But
we gotta get some stuff looked at.
If we split it to the 10, guarantee I won't build up. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'd be building on my originally purchased, so we wouldn't have to worry about any of that breaking ground or any of that stuff. Yeah.
Well, you buy it with the understanding that you own it.
I
know. Then you can build on it.
It's about 10.3 acres.
Okay.
So the village would be lopping off 10 acres of their current property?
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds like a subdivision.
It would be a subdivision.
Okay.
Yeah.
We do subdivisions.
Because you guys are, as a planning board member, you guys are the record owners of record. If you wanted to, your representative, attorney, whatever, came to the planning board and said, Village of Parish wants to subdivide on their old dump, take off 10 acres. You provide us with a new map showing, hey, here's the map, here's what it was, here's what it's going to look like, within boundary line, contour lines, and all that stuff in our criteria. And then we say, okay, looks good. We put you on the schedule. Hey, here's a public hearing. Come back next month. If that's what you guys, it sounds like
that's the procedure, right?
If you guys
are doing it. If we're getting ready to sell this, we have to come to you.
And you want to chop off a piece of it? Yeah.
Big deal.
So this map right here.
So if you want to narrow it down.
This map right here.
You can also cut some off and then you go back. Yeah. I like how it folds out a little bit so I can get all the deer from the two properties.
You'll have it anyway.
The whole property
right here. We have a survey map.
Those are the deer with the weird antlers because they get the garbage.
Well, this guy can run
it down. We bring this one in
now. Yeah.
But I understand, okay. So we have to get a survey.
It's village property in the town, so the town subdivision law is going to control.
Oh, okay.
Village has its own
subdivision.
When you combine properties, does that have to go before the planning board? I always hear about subdivisions.
Some people do come before the planning board and say, hey, I bought these two properties. Here's the two maps that they look like. Here's what I want to do. Here's the contiguous, right? Okay, so I want to take this guy and move here, or whatever. And then you get
two or three
and then the meets and bounds description, long paragraph thing of what your new piece is going to look like. We usually prove it right here, probably that night at the next meeting.
That's
resolution.
That's a joint. I don't even know what they call it. What is that? Joining?
Boundary line change.
Okay.
Boundary line change.
I think we
there's a lot of people on that. They're planning board when they own. I wouldn't want to put them all together. I'm like, we could do.
Yeah.
Because you're joining them. So.
Because then I think that eventually gets filed with county.
Then the next question is, what
gets the to the assessor when he does the
assessments and stuff. But they're all together.
Right.
They're separated.
Well, right. There's like three different options.
But not too many people do
right
it.
Right away.
We had a couple right here. Like,
and when the road tortoise does that, and I'm also implying that
I'll let you go.
Either one of the trails, I'll just let you guys know.
Okay.
One last trail that's an option, but it's not really just unless I want to move one that's the same size as Linda, then
do the
research. I learned that tonight.
Mm-hmm. And right away,
then I can run that out.
Get some in and out.
You got a boundary line.
Yeah, the road
can you get a very?
I mean, perfect rural.
Yeah, but
is it going to be a
just?
Yeah, go for it.
How do you even do a variance?
I don't see why it wouldn't.
Then it's asking him if that's what he wants to do.
Well, if we just talk about three different options and make up our mind, then he can make up his mind.
Well, it's up to him to make his mind up first. What he'd rather do before we can make up our mind.
Well, you got three options.
I got five on this piece of paper.
Oh, sure.
All right, what you got for five options?
No, I
moved to Las Vegas.
Yeah. Well, we got the right away.
Yeah.
We got the 10 acre.
Yep.
We got the 36 acre.
Yeah.
All right. Those are the three options.
Right. In the perfect, like I said, in the perfect world, I would, the right price, I'll just buy all of it. Right.
Yeah. So we have to give you a figure there.
Right.
And the 10 acres, we have to give you a figure there.
Yes.
The right away.
I don't want to really do that.
Well, I understand, but
yeah. I mean, that's a lot. We're talking time. That I'd rather come up with 10 grand or whatever to buy the 10 acres. It's still going to be.
No, I understand that.
That's
what we have to decide.
Definitely.
All right, then it comes down to what do we want for the 10 acres and what do we want for the whole amount?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, I mean, what's a fair price because of what it used to be? And that all.
What did you
guys like to go to?
You said it was.
Session and discuss that?
What's that?
Yeah, no, saying.
No, I get that.
We probably.
I would recommend an executive session and something separate.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You can always come back to me like in a week or whatever. You guys can speak up.
Well, yeah, I think we need to do a little research.
Yep.
And
sooner rather than later, because I'm trying to break ground as soon as possible.
Hopefully we can get some answers from the DEC if we're getting in touch with them.
I think that's a big point.
Yeah.
I mean, for your safety.
Everybody involved, because, you know, if I know what the DEC on their last test results up there.
Yeah.
I think that it really should be the first step before we even decide, you know.
And you don't think anything leached over to the property that I bought?
You
never know.
I wouldn't say yes or no, but if there was any leaching to be done, I think that thing closed around 60, 61
right.
In that area.
I'm not too concerned about it, honestly. I mean,
is your property higher than this property?
It's kind of on a ridge. It's kind of on a ridge, and then it comes back down into a swamp going towards 38, is it?
Yeah.
36. I don't know. I grew up in over that way.
Well, I think we got to talk to the DEC first.
Yeah. Did you get through to anybody? I got an email for address for the guys there, so I don't know if that was if he would have direct information, but I'm waiting for him to at least respond and put us to the contact.
I wonder if there's any contact info out there on like the stakes that are sticking off or something.
You can contact the regional office in Syracuse.
I think that's where the people that did the drilling were contacted. And I think they were hired by Syracuse.
Right, and I would contact the regional director.
I talked to the guy when they just started the project.
You want this back?
You guys can keep it.
Okay.
You want
to
keep
it?
This.
Yeah. Please.
I'm sorry, the printers are not ink.
Sorry, ink's expensive.
Yeah, it is.
All right. So I'll see if I can get one. Anywhere with the DEC, and then.
Well, that's going to really have a 100% influence on it.
But make some decisions and discuss this.
No, but knowing that they were up there, we need to know what the results were so we can disclose. Otherwise, you're not disclosing the information.
Right. Well,
there's that.
All you need to disclose is that it used to be a dump site. By a dam.
Have you been on the DEC website and looked at that, to look at the property itself?
On the DEC website?
Yep. They mark out all their old,
okay,
and whether the DEC is closed out on anything.
Okay.
So if you go on a website and you, they have like a plotting program that will show what's in parish area. And I would book, and they might have information on that as well.
Maybe they have a write-up on it or something.
Been cleared for so many years and it's done.
They didn't give us any contact info, did they?
No.
They did ask for permission?
Well, they asked for permission, they said they were doing it.
Yeah.
Well, they wanted somebody down there.
Yeah.
I went down there before to see what they were doing and then talked to the guy.
If I do beat down Heidi Ages, like she, they should offer, I could get it. But I have to go the variance route. Yeah, I mean, that is my route, but I just come back every day.
Right, like I said, there's no guarantee with the ZBA. Always expect the worst for the variance.
Yeah.
And that's a hard, that's, you know, you get it, great. If you don't, then you expect it.
Yeah, I don't even know if I want to even deal with that.
Well, I don't know why you would.
He took off the morning.
A lot of cow. Apparently the whole trailer and that back is just filled with garbage.
No, you have to fill the driveway.
She was like $3,000 in taxes that was due again. She's going to pass on to Jane.
She wants to part with it.
So she wants like $20,000 something. It's assessed that. When the trailer was good.
Tell her the cleanup costs and everything else, it's, you know.
I don't know if it's me. I called, I left it, and then I said, call me back when you call for the number. I hadn't heard anything, called her today, and I called me back, so.
No sense arguing.
Yeah, I'm not really interested.
Okay.
All right, anything else then that we discussed at some point?
Thank you.
Yep, thank you for coming in. All right, we continue.
Christina has any more questions?
She knows. No. She's persistent.
It's okay. I'll get back to her as soon as I can.
Looking at the water project, I sent you the, maybe you got, I guess you did get it from Carrie Tuttle regarding the status of where they're at and happening. And as she points out, if you have any questions to get in touch with her, that will be added to the bill.
Excuse me, Mayor.
Yes.
Are you excused?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. Nice meeting you guys. Yeah. Thank you.
And everything they're engaged in, that's the totals continue to mount up in the dialogues. And tomorrow night's meeting for the town board is a Zoom meeting, so I think you have that information as well.
Do you want to zoom in?
Zoom in. So.
Well, we should keep entertainment for the night.
Oh, God, yeah. I'll be talking to the freaking internet for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. All right, so that's all I know is what's enclosed in that packet from Carrie.
Okay.
Let's see. Wastewater mowing. Neil's been out at the plant. And there's a few suggestions. One, that we get a dumpster to get that stuff.
Yeah, I figured we get a dumpster, and then we get everything out of it. We get all that rotten wood out of there. We get that
side a little bit.
Plastic, the one plastic thing that's sitting over the fence.
They used to cover the gravel for that.
Oh, they still use it?
Apparently now it's not covering the gravel.
No, they've been using just a regular
tarp. Well, if you get a small dumpster, because it ain't going to take much.
No. I'll see what size.
You know, half the full roll-off. You know?
Okay, the full roll-off is 19 yards?
You'll see what the cost are.
Yeah.
Just take it to the town cleanup day.
We were saying about that. Are you volunteering your time to come down and help us?
I was just saying.
Hey, they got a mower with a bucket on it. Don't pick it up and dump it.
Well, that's what we're going to do.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, I'm not going to pick it up, dump it into a trailer and bring it down there. And you guys are going to have to, you know, handle it to throw it into the, you know, that's an awful lot of time wasted in my.
All right, any comments about mowing? Give us a list of names.
Yes.
companies that.
But I'm going to hold off on that. Okay. Because I got somebody who might decide to put a bid in.
Okay.
Once he's no longer on the board.
Okay.
Yeah, there. I might want to do something.
Part-time job.
Yeah. I figure once a week.
$100 a week? What the hell?
I'll make my kid do it for less than that. He's 15. I would make my kid do it for free. Are you kidding me?
Perfect.
Sure.
Let's see.
Don't think about the older people and fixed income.
Yeah, well, he does that a lot. Doesn't think about us old guys.
All right.
It's a teaching lesson.
So I take it Mr. Pidcamney is not mowing Gunner anymore?
No, it's the way I took it.
Would the board then please direct him to turn in a timesheet so he can get paid for what he has done, because he has not turned anyone yet?
Then he don't get paid.
He wasn't going to get paid.
He said he didn't want.
Okay, then.
He did it
voluntarily. I don't want to see him on my doorstep then at the end of the year saying, I want my money.
He was doing don't it voluntarily. Worry about it.
Yeah, wrong.
All right, continuing then. COVID-19 safety plan has been completed and posted out on the front board, so you can all feel safe as long as you got your mask to keep your distance.
Yes, it makes me feel warm and fuzzy.
I'm sure it would comfort you.
Fuzzy is the mold.
Yes. POH and Mr. Como. Tree removal, Union and Church Street. We're waiting for information back from West Monroe. They were going to assist on this. However, they said that the grid, because the tree branches and stuff are tangled with the grid wires, that they're waiting a response to grid. So kind of a domino thing. We're waiting to hear and see what grid would do, or if they will, what needs to be done there. So we continue to stand there on the
corner. Let me go down with a big sledgehammer, hit it a couple of times, because then it was going to fall anyway.
Right, but we don't have to fall anybody's house either. All right, road work at Edict Pond is completed. I am waiting to submit it to Trip Chips. We have $26,000 available. The project was $13,100, and I have to use Pave New York of the $2,000 there, and then whatever remains from that, $13,100 comes out of Chips. So, but they're not taking any. I think I sent that memo to you. We've got a memo from Chips. People about had it being postponed, so they're beginning to open up and look at that now. Harassment discrimination training webinar series were done in-house. Jackie did a session for those that hadn't completed 2019, and then you will again do one in the fall for online, which is very good.
And I can sexually harass you during that meeting?
You can come to the meeting if she lets you in. archives files updated. Jackie was working on that, and we had the resolution last week about the new format with the archives, records keeping, and so on. Thank you, Jackie.
The new records management that's coming out. You guys took care of that then. The resolution.
Records retention.
What about?
Yeah, the records retention new booklet that's coming out.
What about it?
You guys took care of that then, right?
We made the resolution.
Okay.
That,
we did it last month.
Okay. Cool.
All right. Anything for other business?
Yeah.
Yes.
Treasurer.
Me.
The annual report has been filed. It was filed on time. I did not require an extension. I think it's the third year in a row I had to do that. Yay. So about 9:25 on Saturday morning, August 1st, it got filed. For those of you that are interested, the Comptroller's Office has released the Village of Parrish 2019 Fiscal Stress Report. It's based on the 2019 annual report. So I have a copy of that in the office, along with the manual on how to read it. Basically, I reviewed with the mayor a couple days ago. Basically, we are doing way much better than the town. We are not susceptible to stress, any financial fiscal stress. Some things we have, the financial part, we have direct control over on how we do the money.
Right.
The part that we have no control over is the environmentals, which is we're suffering a decrease in population. And this is Dorothy, which I hope you guys don't look at that, not his people, but the ones looking at the funding sources for median household income. Our median household income took a jump based on that. Let me back up. The environmental factors that go into this financial fiscal stress report come from Department of Health, Bureau of Labor Statistics, U.S. Census Bureau, probably some other state and or federal agencies. But that shows our median household income was 63 and some change. That's what I'm saying. I hope they don't look at that financial fiscal stress report. We were at 45.5 when we did our household income survey. Oh, American Home Survey is where some of that information comes from. So I've got that, both the manual and the report in the office. If anyone wants to take a look at it anytime. The 2020 version obviously won't be out until next year. I think that's it. And if you guys noticed, there was, back up with that. This is the month that our EFC payment is due.
Okay? Yeah, we already.
I hand carried it down to the post office today and got a damn hand stamp, so it's out the door. The reason it was split between two funds is because the sewer debt service reserve fund, which we've been using to pay our debt bills, is shortening. It's getting less and less and less and less. So what I did was I took enough out of it this time to pay a chunk of the EFC money and then took the rest of it out of our sewer budget where we had already obligated for it anyway. So in December, we will have another interest payment due for KeyBank. That should effectively do away with the sewer debt service reserve fund.
Okay.
That's a rearrangement.
And on my June report, and this is totally my fault, I screwed up at the end of last fiscal year. I forgot to transfer money for some of our funds. However, I did it in the month of June. I realized I made my mistake.
Oh, okay.
That's okay.
Would you like to send the bottom?
Yeah, that's the one I'm looking for. July 2. Okay, so on my report here, basically it says here's what we had in May, here's what we had in June, here's what we increase or decreases.
Right.
So I'm sorry, I don't have my mask on, but so the ones that I forgot to transfer money into was the audit reserve. So I took that out of our general savings, moved it over.
Okay.
$5,000. We got 71 cents in interest somewhere, I guess. The wastewater future systems upgrade account, I transferred the 3065 out of that from our sewer saving into that fund. The only thing I could not effect a change on was that one CD that we have there. The future systems upgrade account, that's the CD that I can only change that in May. So my intention is in May of this next year, to take some out of savings for what we would have done last year and take the regular budgetary amount out. So that should bring that up.
Okay.
That's
good.
Yeah. I won't know. Like I said, I filed the report. His office will bombard me with some questions in December. Okay. That's about when they show up.
Okay.
They used to show up in March, but they'll show up in December where they haven't been.
I have a question. We had discussed the Bubba's property. There were no liens put on that property. No record of any liens.
No record according to the city town clerks.
Right. I thought that's where we were at, and I just wanted
to rechecked. Checked under Bubba's, checked under the property name, checked every variation possible.
I think the discussion was that he was going to, and it never happened, I guess.
Did it sell?
Jay, do you know?
I don't know.
Yeah, he was
going to
put a bid in.
I know.
No,
check it.
No,
I haven't heard anything of how the results were of the auction. All right, new business, the DOT crosswalks handicap marking designations. I talked to somebody from the DOT, I guess it was after the last meeting. And like I said, they needed curbing and all that.
And I don't understand that. I don't understand that because if they put curbing in, then they're going to where they put the handicap across. Well, they're going to have to cut it out anyway.
I know. I don't understand the logic, but it's not going to happen anyways because if we're going to put water through, we're not going to pay a contractor.
When they put water through and when they redo the road, they're going to destroy it anyway.
At the same time. But I did get a request from fire department for a no parking sign in front of the pizza place at a certain distance back from the corner so that traffic can see that. I thought there was, right.
There was one on every corner.
Yeah, is it there anymore?
No.
Not the one on the pizza shop?
Snowplow took it down.
Something did.
Snowplow took it down.
It's not there now, so we need to have. Now, is there supposed to be one on these four corners?
Yes, there used to be.
Whether they're still there, I suppose we should check out.
The only reason, well, I brought it up as a resident because obviously the fire company responded to an MVA over the weekend with no injuries, but it was called in as personal injury only, or personal damage, property damage only. But because when we come back from a call, the chief goes a certain way to get back to the station because he gets out of the scene before we do. So we were in the squad Saturday and he saw something that didn't quite look right on Four Corners. So he went down and investigated and I could hear him call on the radio asking dispatch if they had anything for an MVA on Four Corners. And the dispatch said, no, property damage only. But they did not indicate to dispatch they were blocking the intersection. So that's when we noticed that there's a no parking here to corner sign on South Railroad Street. There's one by the laundromat and the insurance company. I don't know about on North Railroad, but there's not on the pizza shop side.
Nothing on South Railroad.
Yeah, South Railroad. On South Railroad.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not sure about North.
Main Street here?
Yeah.
Is there one on the left-hand side?
Yeah, by the insurance company, yep. Yeah. Between the insurance company and the laundromat, there is one, yes.
Okay. Yeah, and there's one on this side, too? Yeah.
Not by the pizza shop.
From pizza.
Well, no, then no, you're talking about the same size of the pizza shop sign, or are you talking the other
side? The same size pizza shop.
Yes, it was.
It
says no parking from here to the corner.
With an arrow. Yeah.
With an arrow.
It's not there.
There used to be.
Yeah. It's not there no more?
It's not
Those
there.
Two are gone.
One is gone for sure.
Okay.
So I'll call the DOT and let them know. Taken care of.
Because literally on Saturday, there was from the pizza shop front door, parallel with off the road in the shoulder, there was a large pickup truck and then about four cars behind it. So this mail truck had no way to see what was coming down the road.
I'll call the DOT and get that designated.
That's not there anyways.
So. All right, we talked about the Bengal Road property and we'll have to discuss that. Wastewater treatment, no impact resolution. That's what we were discussing with Ian. And then the CHIPS money, I will submit that and hopefully we'll get reimbursed for that money. It shouldn't be a problem with the DOT. This is our CHIPS and that letter from the DOT. CHIPS last day to check can be written is Wednesday, August 26th. Date paperwork is due in the office by September 4th, and the late payment date is expected on about Wednesday, September 30th. So we will see what happens with that. And anything else for new business? Wake up. We're almost done. Okay, if not, dates to remember, our community cleanup yard sales this weekend, the 22nd, 23rd, cleanup next weekend, and the town will be organizing that, hopefully. And our village elections, September 15th, it's a delayed date from March, and because of the COVID situation. September 10th is the joint board meeting, and the village will be... Then I think that should be probably relatively straightforward. I don't know if we have much on the agenda there. September 16th, our monthly meeting. November 9th, a quarterly board meeting. All right, bills to be paid.
All right, general fund vouchers 34 through 50 in the amount of $20,310.84.
So I'll make a motion to pay that.
I second it.
Okay, all in favor? Sewer.
Doctors 25 through 35 in the amount of $20,992.06.
I'll make a motion to pay that.
I'll second it.
And sewer debt voucher 2 in the amount of $15,144.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second it.
Who made that, Doug?
Yes, ma'am.
And who second?
I did.
That was $15,144,
Jackie. Yep. And vouchers 21-31 for the TNA in the amount of $3,159.93.
I'll make the motion.
Okay.
I second it.
All right. You got it. All right. Now, do we want an executive session to discuss the property, or what do you want to do about it?
Or have a special meeting later.
What?
A special meeting.
Special meeting.
All right. We'll have a special meeting then.
Just have to tell a lawyer when it's going to be.
I got to get home.
Okay. Motion?
I make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second it.
Too many seconds.
Ain't no messing around there.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
I'll do it again tomorrow.
903.
I'll go make a contact.
As long as
it's
Wednesday, Thursday,
Friday,
Friday,
Friday, Friday, Friday, Friday,
you guys have fun. See you later.
It's kind of work funny.
See you next time.
Yeah. I'll do it someplace else. Yeah.
Thanks, Dan.
Yeah, no problem. We'll be next month.
Okay.
Or if you're going to have a special meeting.
And I still don't like.
We got the report on.
The idea that the board.
I'll sign it sooner than later.
Yeah.
So let me know when you're going to do it.
Okay.
And
because you gotta have a rule,
you know, we might not, you know, if it's like beginning of September, you know, that we might, you know, be in a position where we can talk about it. Just let me know.
All right.
If on the board's there for
it. I will be out of town from the 31st till the 1st.
These are Doug or Mayfair.
But they're 15, but there's a pocket of
Are you out of town?